You are listening to a message from Thrive Community Church, a church located in Southwest Florida. For more info, visit us at thrive-fl.org.
This is actually the first time that we are team teaching together.
First time you're assisting me while I preach. I know. So,
well
so
said.
I've been telling everybody this week, Phil's going to help me while I preach today. So.
All right. Did we tell you, not only probably there's going to be some sadness going on, but we want laughter, okay? And so that's good right there. And so we're going to be team teaching today because, honestly, not only am I assisting Kyrie today, but honestly, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to make it through the whole time. So as soon as I start tearing up and she's just going to take over or vice versa, because, again, it is very emotional for us. But we wanted to be able to say again one last goodbye to you all. Now, a lot of you have been asking, hey, what is next for the both of you? And this has all come really fast. We received a call with an organization, a Christian organization called PLI, and it is it's what do you say?
The three of us.
Oh, yes. Yes. The three of us. We'll get to that part. Don't worry. Okay. We received a call to PLI, Pastor Leadership Institute. And, it is an organization that has been around for a while. And it first started by, just helping pastors and their spouses, and what it looked like to be more effective in their marriage for ministry and how that can, just enable more fruitfulness with the churches that they're at. And it's just a wonderful organization, and we just really appreciate what they're doing. And they asked us to be able to start this new initiative, which is called 1,000 Young Leaders, all right? As we said before, man, like discipleship is something that's so important to us. It's so huge for us. And they have this vision that they want to be able to see 1,000 leaders to be able to multiply so that they would be able to, learn what it means to disciple better, to be on mission for Jesus, and also eventually maybe even plant churches. And so when we heard something like this, this was exciting. This was something like, man, we love the vision, what's going on. So a wonderful thing. Again, it all happened really fast too, right? We actually received like just an interview for this position 2 weeks before Christmas. So if you were to ask me like if I knew anything about this, no, we were honestly like this was where life was going to be. And as Jeff was mentioning, yeah, this is where life was going to be for the three of us. We, as you have heard, are going to be expecting a baby in July. Which is awesome.
Do we have a picture?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
it's so crazy that's like in me right now.
So,
that's so crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the three of us, and, I mean, just like we were so excited to be able to share this moment with our church family because many of you, we've been pretty vocal about it. We knew that there was infertility, things going on, and we were praying and we were seeing doctors, and there was attempts before and nothing was really working out. And we get to this moment and we were so excited that our church family was going to be able to have baby Klopp in the mix, right? And that you would be able to love on this child because, I mean, undoubtedly we have been loved by you all. And, so again, this has just been super emotional. It has been very difficult. You know, we're excited about what is to come. We're still excited about what is to come for Thrive Community Church. But to say that this is, you know, like to leave a family that has loved us, this is very difficult. All right. And so we wanted to be able to, again, say one last goodbye, to be able to share some thoughts with you, stuff that is on our hearts, something that has been so important within our marriages, and something that we just hope that you all continue to pass this on as we talk about what it means to be able to disciple, what it means to be a follower of Christ, all right? So for today, we are going to open up to Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And as always, you can follow along with us on the Bible app. And we have all of our notes there. You could just go into our live events right there. And you can receive all the notes of what is going to be talked about. So Acts chapter 1, starting with verse 1, and we're going to go all the way to verse 11. The promise of the Holy Spirit. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.
So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.
All right, so this letter is being addressed to this man, Theophilus. And we don't really necessarily know who this person is. We know that the writer of this letter is Luke, and he wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he addresses his second letter to this particular codename person. It could be a king who Luke was writing this to, okay? And so the best way of putting this is if you ever were to go to like a Broadway show and you have the first act and then you have intermission and then you go into the second act. Luke is like the first act of the play, right? You know, huge part what Jesus has done. But then we enter into the book of Acts. All right, we enter into the book of Acts, and this is where we see God, the Holy Spirit, start working through the church. All right, so that's kind of the basic background of what is being able to going on. And we wanted to be able to share three different points with you all today, especially after looking at this particular letter. All right, number one is this, that the power of the Holy Spirit is upon you. All right, now, it was, man, just like I'm just trying, this whole week, I'm just like flooding back memories, you know, and I'm like walking around different places and I'm just like crying out of nowhere. Like John actually had a great message last week and just was talking about surrendering, you know, not like not being in control of everything and just some amazing stuff that was happening as we were talking about our sermon series, I Choose. And I just find myself, I'm just weeping, you know, just because I'm thinking about just all the memories. And like, even from the very beginning, like when we came down here, it was really interesting too. Like we said, hey, we want to be able to do this thing together. All right. And so like, John, I know you remember, I was like, hey, John, when I interview, I want to interview with my wife right there. And he's like, okay, you know? And I think you passed it along to some of the other board members and they're like, why would he do something like that? Like that's unprofessional. And, you know, and I was just like, no, well, like if we're going to come down here and move our lives down here, like you're going to see that this is not Phil. This is Phil and Kyrie as a couple doing this thing together. And, you know, so we interviewed together. I remember when we were installed, I said, I want Kyrie up there because, you know, in this marriage, we're doing this thing together. And we realized, man, like the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to be upon us, not just me as an individual, upon us. All right. And I remember that. And I remember, even at the very beginning, although we were so excited to be able to be a part of this wonderful ministry, to be able to plant a church on a college campus at FGCU and to start this thing, we also realized we had no idea what we were doing. Right? Like, we're just like,
we didn't tell anybody that.
We're just going to make things up as we go, you know? And it really, honestly, I just remember those very beginning moments. It's like, yes, like even the power of the Holy Spirit is going to be on even in the messiness of who we are, all right? And so we said, okay, let's do it. We're just going to try things. And, you know, I mean, what did that look like for you?
I mean, when you take on something so big that you feel like God's called you to, whatever it may be, there is huge doubt that usually floods you. And a lot of that is you just doubting that the Holy Spirit is actually going to work through you. And so I remember when we were sitting down, Phil and I, and we were talking about some things that we really felt needed to happen, especially when it came to the college ministry. We knew in our hearts, like, the one thing above all that God's called all of us to is to disciple others. And so I knew in that conversation, I was like, shoot, I have to start a discipleship group. And which was crazy that I was so nervous about that, because in college, like, I had led Bible studies and things like that. But for some reason, discipling was like on a whole other level. And it just felt like such a mightier kind of task. And I remember being super nervous. And there was so much doubt, like, who am I to, you know, lead these, you know, young women? Like, what have I done that's so great? Like, what can they learn from me? Like, I haven't memorized the whole Bible yet. So clearly I'm not qualified yet to do this. And just a lot of stuff that, a lot of doubt that flooded in. And I don't think I remember that first. I remember who was in the first discipleship group, and I remember that time, but I don't know if I remember, like, the very first time we met, because I think, like, trauma-wise, I, like, packed that way back, because it was, like, just so scary. I was like, oh, my gosh, what am I doing? But actually, like, some of those women that were in that first group are here today. Give me what? And they're all awesome, all those women that were in that group and doing really awesome things for the kingdom, so... I mean, obviously, like, I didn't get in the way of the Holy Spirit amongst all my doubt and my fear. And I think they would say the same, that I did a pretty decent job for my first time. And so as we're called to do these big things, like be a part of Thrive and disciple other people, I think there was a lot of fear and how the Holy Spirit was going to move. But at the end of the day, I think with so much relationships we had already in the beginning and people that came beside us in the very beginning, we were able to easily believe that God was going to do really big stuff here.
Yeah. I just think it's so important that we know that we're encouraged by that. And it's also not placed upon, like, individuals that are teaching and preaching, or, you know, John, but it's that same power is upon all of us. All right. The Holy Spirit is doing something with this church, not just individuals. And that's why, again, we get to celebrate that good news. One of the things that John and I talked about at the very beginning, I remember, I said, if this church, you know, just takes off, you know, and we have to write a book about it, because I don't know if you know this, but if, like, churches, like, become like these huge mega churches, then the Christian publishers will kind of, like, you know, contact you and say, you need to write a book, you know, and then that just means, like, hey, you share with us what you did, your experiences, what you did for leadership, what you did for discipleship. And but I remember, and I really respected what John had to say about this. He said, if that were to happen, it probably would be the shortest book of all time. I mean, sure, we can list all the mistakes that we made, all right? But it would be by the Holy Spirit, like, God just took over this place like wildfire. And it was through him and him alone. So that same Holy Spirit rests upon us, rests upon you. It's not based on individuals. It's based on the church, the Holy Spirit working through us. Now, I love what Francis Chan has to say. He's a pastor, and he wrote a book called Unforgotten God, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit, and I thought this really resonates well. He says this, I want to live so that I am truly submitted to the Spirit's leading on a daily basis. Christ said it's better for us that the Spirit came, and I want to live like that is true. I don't want to keep crawling when I have the ability to fly. All right? So what does that look like?
And I think for a lot of us, especially, like, if you are with other Christian brothers and sisters, they say, you know, well, just let the Holy Spirit, like, lead you. And they're like, awesome. What does that look like? Like, how do I even, like, do that? Like, that sounds all good and everything. But at the end of the day, like, how do I do that? How do I open myself up to do that? How do I know it's happening? Like, what if maybe I'm just leading myself? And we could... you know, sit here and we could give you, you know, the top five list of all the examples of how we've seen other people be led by the Holy Spirit or how we have individually. And we believe if we were to sit here and to do that, that we would be limiting the power of the Holy Spirit working within you and within this church body. And the reason I say that is because we've all been given so many different strengths and so many different abilities that are different from each other. And the reason why that is because each of us are so important in this church body. Everybody has a specific purpose that is needed. No one is less needed and more needed. And that includes leadership too. We all are, everybody is just as important as the next. And to say that there is only a specific way that the Holy Spirit is going to work in you would be limiting how the Holy Spirit is going to work through you. And thank you. Yeah. I got an amen. And so when you are, don't worry, you'll get one probably.
Prob's not.
So when you're, especially when you come against like really tough times and tribulation, like for instance, like our church body here at Thrive is going through a transition, right? Like with Phil and I, leaving and following where God has called us next. There's a lot of questioning, right? And, you know, that could go for a lot of different circumstances. If you've experienced a death or if there's some big change in your life, you start to question, what is God doing? How is the Holy Spirit going to work in this? And we start to give in to a lot of fear, a lot of doubt. We have a huge unwillingness to trust the Lord. And these are the things where we'll see ourselves crawling, where we'll see ourselves just trying to get by and waiting for God to show up and not believing that he's already showed up. He's already given you a Holy Spirit that will help you to fly, will help you to fight, will help you to move on, will lead you and give you what you need in the moments when you come up against them. It's not you standing there waiting for you to be given that strength and that Holy Spirit. You already have it when you arrive.
Yeah, true that. And like one of the top questions that we received once we announced that we were going to be transitioning and taking a call with PLI was, Phil, Kyrie, what is Thrive going to do now? You know, as if like everything is going to be hindered, that everything is just going to be slower, that we're just going to crawl just to get by. But like, truly, if we believe that the Holy Spirit is present and is active, he's going to, and the power's upon each and every single person here, man, we want to be able to fly, right? We want to be a place of sending. You know, we want to be able to celebrate these things. And so I think it's going to be important for us that we realize that we don't just like, okay, you know, things are going to be different now. Yes, sure, there's things that are different. And, you know, there's certain things that have come into place. But you know what's really cool? As I've been watching this transition, just seeing like all of you guys like, okay, this is what's going to happen next. And like, it's like the people of God, like the church is truly coming together saying, okay, we are still a light here in Southwest Florida. All right. We are still a place where people can be able to hear the gospel and to be able to respond to that. And so it's a wonderful thing. The second point that we wanted to be able to share with you is don't gaze, go. All right. If we look at verse 10 again, it says this, and while they were going into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes. All right. I could only imagine what the disciples, the followers of Jesus, were thinking at this time. They were basically immersed being with Jesus for so many years, right? They lived with him. They ate food with him. You know, their everything was with Jesus, right? And they saw not only his ministry on earth, but this death, his resurrection, the way that he even came back and was amongst them. And like, it probably was, I would assume, and it should be, the most incredible thing that has ever happened in their life. Right? And here Jesus is saying these things, floating up into the sky, which is really cool, right? And but they're just like, you know, he's leaving. He's going. And it's like you're almost getting fixed upon like, okay, he's going, but like then all of a sudden they get tapped on the side by these two white angels in white robes, right? And they said, you know, what are you doing? All right. The thing is, it's easy for us to be able to get caught up into the moment, right? To be able to just be like, oh man, like I'm just gonna focus on this from now on. But in the Great Commission, when Jesus is talking to his disciples, he says this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. So here at Thrive, we talk a lot about discipleship, right? And even though, like, even when we try to do that, it may look messy, all right? Bub, I remember the first time that we sat down and we sat at Calistoga's, which is now closed, and we were doing discipleship for the very first time. And it was just like, there was so many things in me at the time where I just wanted to be like, man, like, I'm not good enough. I'm not qualified enough. You know, maybe if I have everything lined up and, you know, it looks better in my schedule, then we'll finally start discipleship. Jesus is saying, go. Do it. Go and do it right now. And if we are to look at discipleship, what Jesus says right here is pretty clear. What does that look like? Discipleship is going to involve this, baptizing and teaching. All right? There's going to be baptizing and teaching. And so it seems pretty simple, right? Okay, I get that. I understand that. But then why is that? Why do we make it so complex? Why do we make it so hard, right? And we kind of, it's like a puzzle to us because it's just like, I just don't think that I can be able to do something like this. One of the things that we talked about, it was actually the tagline for our church. You guys remember it? Thrive Community Church, where? All right, yeah, where relationships are everything, okay? That was the tagline. We plastered it all over the place. I remember when we were tabling at FGCU and we're like trying to get students to come here for the very first time. And this guy comes up to me and says, dude, you guys are like a dating service. This is awesome. And we're like, no, we're a church, you know? Like, well, it was really confusing. What?
I said, I mean, technically, like, if you want to meet some awesome women, you know?
Yeah. And technically, we've had some people meet people at Thrive. Actually, I'm not going to call them out, but they just recently got engaged. And
whoop.
And I saw a comment from someone where relationships are everything. So, like, it just doesn't leave us, all right? And so, but honestly, what we were looking at was when we were looking at relationships, right? We said that because we wanted to be able to model God, all right? We wanted to be able to model the relationship, the Trinity God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and how they loved one another. And then we wanted to be able to model how Jesus had a relationship with his followers and friends. And we want to be able to model that same relationship with the people that we interact with. So if we are going to be about discipleship, if we are going to be about baptizing and teaching, guess what? It's going to start with a relationship, right? You got to have something that's foundational. And relationships, guess what? Are they easy? No. They can be really hard. It can be very difficult because when things just don't work out or, you know, they say something about you or, you know, whatever it may be, you just want to dismiss that and just move on. Relationships are not easy. They're not easy in our marriages at times too, right? But we want to be able to model that relationship that God has given to us. And so if we want to be a church that is about discipleship, that is about baptizing, that's about teaching, we need to be a church that is about relationship. And guess what? We can't just get caught up in just staring out in the distance and, huh, I wonder what's going to happen next. Jesus says, go. He says, do it. All right? I don't know.
Well, I was going to say, I think when we are given, you know, this task to do, a lot of times, especially for us, like perfectionists, I know that are out there, we like to have like a step-by-step to make sure we do absolutely everything correctly and right. And I can just imagine, I don't know if back in the day when Jesus was there and he left them and he said, now go disciple and baptize and teach, if that was confusing to them, if that was, okay, that sounds great, but like, how do I do that? You know, maybe they were like, oh yeah, we totally got this. And then somewhere along the way, if we look at like a lot of us today, when you tell somebody, okay, go and disciple people, you just kind of get like this blank stare sometimes. Like, what does that look like? What do I do? And I think somewhere along the way, we've not confused, but we, we turn something that was very simple into something that is very complex. And we are always kind of looking for a systematic way of doing that. To kind of give you an example of how sometimes we can get stuck in like this systematic way of just living out what Jesus has called us to. Before we even heard about Thrive and before John called us to tell us about Thrive, we were interviewing with an organization up in Chicago, and they're nationwide, and they mainly did high school ministry but wanted to start doing college. And so they wanted us to come alongside them and kind of take over an area in the Chicago area of what they were doing. And so we went to the leader's house, and it was an older couple. And then they had some people that were around our age and then some college volunteers for that ministry. And so we all ate, had some good food, and then sat in the living room, and it was time to, you know, do the official interview. And it was very, at that time, it was very different than our Thrive interview. They were very focused on Phil's wisdom and all of everything he had to say. And I could have been like...
Not a whole lot.
I could have been like cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and they would have had no idea. They would have been stuck with me because they asked me no questions. but so they're really focused on Phil, and then they came to this like ultimate like climax question, and they said, "Okay, here's your scenario. You're at a program, right? And Johnny is there, and Johnny doesn't know Christ. Basically, how would you bring him to know Christ? What would you do?" And then I look at Phil, and I'm like, he's got this, you know.
Well, and to give a backbone, like with this organization, I knew that there's like a 6-step process to be able to bring them to faith. Like they had it like on a bookmark, and I knew that, but I wasn't going to answer it the way that they wanted to because I'm a rebel. I don't do stuff like that, all right? And so I wasn't going to do that, but instead I went with this approach.
Yeah, so he started talking about, you know, how he would, you know, get to know this Johnny, how he would ask him questions about his life, like what has he been through, like, you know, ask him about his faith, like maybe he has a totally different idea of Jesus than what Phil has, but, you know, how is Phil to know if he doesn't get to know him and become friends with him? And so basically like a shortened answer of what Phil said, just building a relationship with this Johnny. And I was kind of focused on Phil the whole time while he was answering. I wasn't really surveying the room, and I was just like, woo, 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 like really like excited about his answer. And I was like, oh, he nailed it. And then finally, when he's done answering, I looked around the room and I was like, oh man, they did not like that answer. And then all of a sudden, this one girl who she was like a couple years younger than us, basically just flat out broke the silence and said, "You will never be able to share Jesus with anyone." And I was like, oh, and I was about to like take off my ear. I was just like, I was like, girl, you don't even know. And so, like if you're married and somebody's attacking your spouse, you get like fired up. But like he was as cool as a cucumber and just like responded really well. And it was just because they were like, well, you didn't first, you know, ask them if they're going to heaven or hell. And then you didn't pull out your track and then show them how they could jump across the cliff by climbing over the cross. Like if you've ever seen those, I mean, but like he, you know, they were so upset that he didn't have this systematic way of baptizing and teaching. And if you skip step 3, like it all is going to, you know, like there's no way. And so, I mean, I was super proud of Phil's answer. And I think God has fulfilled so many things to show us that truly relationships are the way to go. And I really, really, really love what someone said to us one time, just in a random conversation. I've only spoke to this person once, but they told us, you need to earn the right to be heard. You need to earn the right to be heard. So many times, whatever view we have, we go up to someone and we say, no, you're wrong, I'm right. And if it's somebody who I have been through life with, I've cried with, I've had fun with, I've had over from my house for dinner multiple times, and I have a friendship with, when we sit down to talk about those really tough things, chances are I will be heard and they will feel heard. And something will come from that, because for each other, we've earned the right to be heard by one another. And that's super important. And I think something that whenever I'm in conversation with somebody, like I remember, like, what I'm about to say, have I earned the right to say this and to discuss this with this person?
You know, it's really funny is a lot of times when Kiri is critiquing me of my sermons, she's always like, you didn't have enough funnies. You didn't have enough jokes. I think you're nailing the jokes right now. That's good.
You're funny. You're funny.
Not as funny as you.
Phil got
Wait,
an
did
amen.
I get that amen or not? I don't know how that works, but whatever. You
Still
win.
Still kind of my amen, but it's okay.
Honestly, I think that's what makes all this even harder too, right? Is because relationships do matter to us. Discipleship is just the centerpiece and the foundation of how Christ builds his church. And so for us, we were committed to relationships and building and being part of like a family with you all. And that's why today's not easy, you know? This is your time.
I was going to say, I'm the pregnant one, and I've barely cried.
I'm telling you, like, I'm going to weep like no other.
It's okay, though.
Everyone makes a joke like I'm so serious, but, like, if you actually know me, like, I cry. So,
I feel like my reaction is going to be, you know when, like, a little kid falls, and there's, like, that silence before the storm? Like, they're wondering, like, should I cry and freak out, or am I okay? I feel like that's where I'm at right now. Yeah. Like, a month from now, I'm just going to be like, and like, so I've cried a couple times. Mikey almost made me cry this morning, but
so these relationships, they do mean everything. And if we are going to be a church that is centered with Jesus Christ and discipleship, it's much more than a systematic approach. You can't just necessarily expect someone just to come up to you and you know, want to join just your small group or your discipleship or your home huddle. It really takes a relationship. All right. And we really believe that as a church, if we want to grow and excel, if we want to be a place where we think this place is going to be a place where just people experience Christ, it all starts with relationships. It's, well, where relationships are everything. All right. And again, there are a lot of emotions for us, but it's been said before, we wanted to make this day also about a lot of laughter, and we wanted to be able to celebrate, which is our third point. Let's celebrate. All right. Let's celebrate. All right. In verse 11, it says this. This is when the angels were talking to them. He says, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you in heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." All right. I know it was probably a very emotional point for the followers of Jesus to be able to see this man, their king, their God, to be able, what they thought was going to leave them. And it was, things were going to look different from then on. Okay. But in the same way, when Christ comes back again, and we sing about it, we talk about it, there is going to be a lot of celebration. And so I think it's important for us to be able to celebrate many different things that our church has gone through. Like today, there are many people that no longer live here anymore, but have been sent and gone to different places. And guess what? We celebrate those moments. And we're not necessarily the first or the last. We want to be a place and a church that we are going to send people out. Because, again, we can't just stay here. We are to go, right? And we want to be able to be a church that models that, that does that well. So, again, I mean, I'm just thinking of all of you that are here today that have loved us, that have supported us, that have encouraged us. Our hope today is that we all celebrate well, because again, this is not about Thrive Community Church. It is about the kingdom of God. All right. The kingdom of God. And yes, things will look different, but like we're all focusing on what is God doing? What is he doing in the kingdom? All right. And so again, celebration. Yes, after the service today, you are going to be able to say your piece, whether it's a nice affirmation or if it's a little friendly roast, whatever you prefer. Friendly, I say, all right? Can't even get an amen, just get nopes. All right? But we want to be able to celebrate well. And the thing is, I know like after this, we're going to sing, and then there's going to be a prayer for us. But like that same prayer also should be all over all of us, All right. We're all missionaries. We're all in this together. All right. Yes, maybe we're in different locations, but like we need to be praying over us as a church again, because it's for the kingdom of God. All right. And so with that being said, we want to say thank you. Because you didn't have to. I mean, I was Roy McTarnigan and Beverly are here today, part of the design team, and they took a chance, and so did John on, I don't know, were we kids at the time? You know, 26, 25, we were so young, right? And they took a chance on us and said, okay, we want you to come down here, and we want you to be a part of Thrive Community Church. And there was a lot of wonderful candidates that I know of, but you said, hey, we want you to be able to be here and do life with us, and we want to thank you all for that. We wish we could all be together, you know, and like, but guess what? One day in heaven, man, we're partying every day with one another. And that is going to be one massive, awesome celebration. All right. Thank you. All right. Yes. Yes. So thank you. Is anything you want to say in terms of?
Man, it's just really crazy because we've been here, we're going on 5 years, and we definitely didn't plan on leaving anytime soon. And when you think 5 years, when you start the 5 years, you're like, that's forever. And then you get to the end, and you're like, wow, that went really fast. And I think for us, we just are super humbled to have been part of this community. Just in that short time, we have done life with so many people, weddings and, you know, baby showers and just like really difficult times with people and coming alongside people. And I remember when we were, oh man, I feel it coming. Okay. When we were leaving St. Louis, where we lived before we came here to Fort Myers, we kind of had like a little going away party at our tiny one bedroom apartment. And that place was packed because it was small, but mostly because there was just, you know, I didn't realize till we were getting ready to leave. And I was looking around the room and I was like, man, this is so cool. Like all these people came here because they love us and because they want to encourage us like in this next step. And we just felt just like really special and just loved. And that tiny little apartment going away party, the reason why I'm reminded of that is because when I look around this room, like that is on a whole other level. Because there's just so much more life that was done and so much more that we've experienced with all of you. And I think the amount of love and how cherished I felt when I left St. Louis is like times a million today, and like beyond grateful for that. Yesterday I was telling a group of women who was helping celebrate our new little baby with me. I was telling them there's so many times, not so many, but unfortunately there's sometimes you hear when people leave like organizations or churches or things, and it just wasn't really on the best note, and it's unfortunate when that happens. But I think for us, we're so unbelievably grateful that we are leaving this place like with people gripping onto us, not wanting us to go, and just loving us and cherishing us, and we get to leave, you know, feeling all of that backing us and encouraging us, and that's just super huge, and we're just so honored and want to thank. That's all possible because of all the, you guys and how you've loved us.
So thank you. We love you, and we'll give you a chance to say more afterwards. But let's we're going to close here, and we're going to begin to worship again. And so let's pray.